97.5, The Fanatic.
What's going on, y'all? 97.5, The Fanatic, broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. I'm Devon Givens. It is 6 o'clock on this Memorial Day weekend, the final day, of course, of the weekend. Hope you've all had a very safe and quiet in a sense where, you know, you're out there and everything is peaceful and no ruckus, no issues, no one getting sick, everyone following the proper protocol and still, and maybe you're tired of hearing me say it, but you know how I've been explaining to people that for me, you know, and many others, I'm not going to act like I'm the only one, very serious thing, of course, that we've been going through, and we want to make sure that we all try to get through this thing quickly, safely, and you know, just stay safe. You know, do not get sick. We don't need any more of that. But I'm with you on my normal time on this Memorial Day, 6 to 10, along with Connor Thomas producing the show. Really appreciate him coming in on this Memorial Day. Great stuff, of course, by Andrew Salchunas and Tyler Zuli, doing a great job before us from 2 to 6, filling in for Mike Missanelli. So we're going to run with you for a little bit and for these 4 hours. And the one thing I wanted to start off with, and Connor and I were talking about it, and I know Andrew and Tyler spoke about it, and spoken about earlier with Jason and Pat, where everyone was talking about the match this past Sunday between, of course, Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady, and everything that went on in that particular match yesterday. And I have to be honest with everyone that as much as I am a huge sports fan and I want sports back just like everyone else does, I'm just like everyone else. I want to see some sports also. I want to see some competitive games out there that are meaningful right now in the moment. It's great to see some old games and enjoy those as well. But for me, all honesty, right? I had no interest in that yesterday. I did not. And when you look at the ratings, and I saw they were crazy, the ratings between that, The Last Dance, over the last, what, 5 weekends, the last Sundays, 5 Sundays, this was the first one that we did not have anything from The Last Dance. And yesterday, I believe, was the debut of the Lance Armstrong documentary, and people were commenting on that on social media as well, to go along with the match yesterday between the 4 all-time greats in their respective sports. We are really jonesing for sports overall, and I get it. But yesterday, for some reason, I still was unable to follow it because number one, I'm not a golf fan. And yes, I will watch in the past when Tiger Woods on those great weekends, those Sundays where he's getting ready to wrap up one and pick up another victory, I'll check into that. And you know who again, as a sports fan, I know who everyone is, and I know how good they are. You know what they rank and all those great things. But for me, I just simply could not get into the match yesterday. But so many people did, obviously, with the viewership outrageous. Right? The viewership just simply outrageous in terms of the numbers that they hit yesterday off of a golf event that had two guys who may be decent at golf, but not very good, when I'm talking about the two football players, and the two others that we know are fantastic and greats, and Mickelson and, right, and with Mickelson and Woods. What was I watching? But I just couldn't do it. There was nothing for me there to do it overall. So I wanted to ask you all to start things off because it was no interest to me. And it's just, that's just me. Doesn't mean that was you, because again, these numbers are crazy. As I look at the Sports TV Ratings Twitter account, 5.8 million average viewership for the match per Turner, and it was the most watched golf telecast in cable TV history. Okay, great. It just, it wasn't for me. I prefer to sit there and watch a movie. I prefer to sit there and have a conversation than watch the match, even though I know it's for a great cause, raising money, more than $20 million for COVID-19 relief. So you love to see that. But in terms of the blockbuster event that it was, I could not get into it. Am I alone? And, you know, is it that bad? Am I alone? Is it that bad that you want sports so badly that even if you're not a golf fan, and even though the four big names are there for you when it comes to Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, and certainly in their sport, Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, that you just simply had to turn the television on because you wanted to see something competitive, something that was live, something new. Hearing the broadcasters, since I didn't watch it, Charles Barkley, I had no idea that he was even involved until Connor Thomas told me that he was involved. I did see some things on Twitter where people would highlight certain segments of the golf match that they would put up there, and Peyton Manning is having jokes about Tom Brady. He's making jokes about Charles Barkley, and I'm wondering, I'm like, okay, well, I know Peyton Manning and Charles are cool, so maybe he's just running it off because Charles, that fun guy, Peyton Manning has jokes for days, all of that. That is no problem. Now I know, because I didn't watch it, that, as Connor pointed out, Charles Barkley was actually doing some commentating from his home for Turner, since this was a Turner broadcast. He's a Turner employee. He got in on it. So how many of you watched it, and how many of you just felt that it needed to fill that hunger just for one night? That hunger for one night of having the match on yesterday, that you just simply had to tune in because you wanted to see something competitive. How many of you did it just for that, and how entertained were you? 610-632-0975. And how many of you were more with me and said, listen, it doesn't matter how much I want to see something in terms of competitive sports. That one just simply wasn't going to get me to pull back in and jump in on something that I had no interest in. And I like all of the guys individually. I know they're all time greats, but it still did not have me stop what I was doing, which apparently was a fun match to watch, and go and check it out. I wasn't doing it. I have no regrets that I did not do it. But, you know, so many of you obviously tuned in, and it was a fantastic watch for you. It couldn't for me. It could not for me. No. And I wasn't going to do it at all. So on this Memorial Day, the final day of the weekend, everybody's still out there barbecuing. Maybe you decided to stay down the shore because you do not have to come back for work right away. You're working from home anyway. You already traveled with your laptop. You can work from the shore. You're now probably sitting on your deck, finishing up the cooking or eating your food or whatever it is, and you're listening to the Fanatic, been listening all day. Let us know. You watched it last night. 610-632-0975. And as an open overall on a day like today, this is not a normal Memorial Day show. When a normal Memorial Day show, when I'm listening to Andrew Salchunas over the last couple of years, he'll get all these phone calls from people calling in, coming back from the shore. This is different. You're either staying there, you never left, you're at home, you're just sitting at home, doing what you're doing, great time with people, great time with your family, small group, but a great time with your small group of family and friends, and you want to just sit there and chill. So with that, this is a different type of show, right? We're going to get the same stuff that you want to talk about the Sixers in one way. You want to speak about the Flyers, the Phillies, the Eagles in a certain way, and we'll get to Mike to start things off with us here tonight on the Fanatic to talk about those very Philadelphia Eagles. We'll leave it open for you to call in and speak about anything, any way you want to, with any of the sports that are out there. There's still plenty of things with the NHL now opening up the practice facility, allowing teams to have their players come in and get some skating done on the ice. The Sixers are one of double-digit team. I think it's like 11 teams that has still not opened their practice facility in the NBA. They're one of them. So right now, the New York Brooklyn Nets, New York is now opening things up gradually. The Brooklyn Nets are going to now open things up tomorrow with another handful of NBA teams to have those certain workouts that are following the guidelines of the NBA, pardon me, the protocols set by the state and how they're allowed to do it. The Sixers are one of them that are still unopened, and we have not gotten any news as to when it will open up for the Sixers players to return to the gym, get some shots up in the event that this thing kicks off from the Wild World of Sports in Disney in Orlando when the playoff teams get together. You've heard, we talked about it on Saturday when the news was coming out from Shams Charania, Ramona Shelburne, Adrian Wojnarowski with the latest of the team's playoff possibilities, how they maybe do 1-8 on each side, east, west, how they might now flip it and do something that many of us have talked about over the years, 1-16 and just reseed. And when we did the reseeding on Saturday here for the show, Dylan McKinnon, the Sixers were in the 12 spot while the Boston Celtics were in the 5 spot. That will remain your first round opponent if that does take place. The next round, Dallas and the Clippers, if the Sixers were lucky enough to advance past Boston, that would be the matchup. The Sixers would have to play the winner of the Clippers-Mavericks of series, and it doesn't get very easy from there. And then once again, you know, there was another one, I believe it was the Bucks possibly, and then the Lakers for the final, if the Sixers were able to reach the NBA final, a tough run for them. So there's plenty to talk about with those guys. The Phillies, still, we have no idea. The Major League Baseball situation is still up in the air where the players and the ownerships, right, the board of the governors, they cannot agree on anything. So what's going to happen? We still don't know. We still have no idea. And once again, the NFL, they have the luxury of time right now where they can simply wait and see how things play out. So your phone calls to start off about the match from yesterday with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning with Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods yesterday. If you watched it, did you like it? Did you enjoy it? Was it something that filled the void for you with live sporting for you right now? Because from, guys, I'm raising my hand again. I was not one of those people. Did not need to see it. Did not want to see it. I can follow up later on and talk about it based on speaking with Connor, listening to the station today, following on social media and reading articles with what actually happened out there on the golf course. Rainy golf course, dark golf course. It was just one of those days, but they made it through. They made $20 million. Did it fill a void for you at least for one night? 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 o'clock on this Memorial Day. Connor Thomas producing the show here with us all evening long. 610-632-0975. A little update from Adrian Wojnarowski that we'll get to as well as we go along. But let's first start things off on the phones in Cherry Hill with Mike on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Mike?
Doing well, Devon. Happy Memorial Day. You
Same
and your
to
listeners.
You
know, listen, man, I didn't watch it. I was like you. If I wanted to see bad golf, I'd go play with my brother-in-law and my uncle, man. You know what I'm saying? I didn't need to see that. And for whatever it was, I'm not that starved to watch bad golf and guys, you know, chopping it all over the yard. So that I really didn't, you know, I wasn't one of those 5 million. I did something else. I was barbecuing. And then the other thing is I did put some bread down, a nice amount of bread down on the Eagles to, you know, at least get to the Super Bowl. And the only reason why I did it is because I'm a degenerate. And that's probably pretty much the only reason why. And next thing is the Sixers. I told you before, Devon, when I did take you to task about the pom-poms. But I would say this, man. I don't think there's any reason for them to try. They should just get the best 16 teams will have and go with it. I mean, why bring back the Hawks and the Knicks? I mean, these guys aren't
Cleveland.
Working out.
Yeah, there's no reason.
I mean, come on. It's just ridiculous. And so what happens if you're getting a 1-8 matchup and somebody and some guy who's overweight and out of shape runs into LeBron and hurts him? I mean, come on, man. That doesn't make no sense, man. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they should just get the top teams and then do, like I said, the one game elimination.
Wow.
You know, hey, listen, Devon, you remember, you're a basketball historian, foremost authority in the Delaware Valley basketball. You remember when the Knicks lost in the championship to the Spurs. The Spurs act like in that at that season, that strike short
50
season,
games.
The Spurs act like that. That's a regular act like that's a regular championship. So don't get it twisted, man. Whoever wins, they're gonna act like that's a championship. And we all know it's less than one, right, Devon?
Yeah, and I would welcome it. And listen, there's gonna be an asterisk whether they finish the season or not, right? So in the books, if they don't finish, there's an asterisk, and it'll have the coronavirus shutdown or whatever. And if they return, it'll still be an asterisk. And then in the parentheses, it will say coronavirus, and that's why they had to do it the way that they did it, because, Mike, that, of course, they couldn't finish the regular season. They had to jump to whatever way they decide to go here with 1-8 in each conference, 1-16, or to your point, if they decide to do a one-game elimination, which they won't do because I haven't seen it in that tournament style, only tournament style to get to the playoffs. That's the only thing. And, Mike, thanks for the call. That's the only thing that the Spurs should count it from that year. Why not? They won. This season got underway. 50-game season. Play it out. Let's go. That was it. And if they do it again this season and the 76ers win the NBA title, you better believe people are going to sit here and say, absolutely. The only ones that aren't going to say, hey, they won that one fair and square are the people who are in the division, fans, and say, well, it doesn't mean anything. It was the COVID-19 shutdown, so it was a coronavirus type of championship for the Philadelphia 76ers. And hey, it might be the same here if Boston were to win it. And the Sixer fans will say, whatever, it doesn't mean anything. But that's what it is. That's what sports is. But for here, for the Lakers, for the Bucks, if you win it, you win it. And that's how it will be looked at. You will win it, and you put that one in your history books, asterisk or not, that's how you won that title for the 1920 season. It will go down in history because we know why. The coronavirus. Not everyone is going to remember when the league was shut down because they had a strike-shortened season, and that's why they had to shut down that particular season at that time. No one is going to sit there and remember every one of those. Yeah, we remember in 99 the Spurs winning coming off of that year, right? Michael Jordan didn't come back, and things went the way they went after they won in 98, right? The 98-99 season, the championship was won in 99 by the San Antonio Spurs. So if that's the case, man, then so what, right? So what? You take it as is. Now, I don't see again, I don't see... I just don't see a way where they go with a one-game elimination. I don't. It will only be for the fact that you decide to use the one-game elimination by having tournament style for the bottom-tier teams that are still trying to fight their way into a postseason appearance. Which it will be, to Mike's point, when you're speaking about the Cleveland Cavaliers, the New York Knicks, and the Atlanta Hawks, and all of those teams. Those are the only teams that we're talking about that's going to try to fight their way in. And when we looked at the standings the other day, after the Orlando Magic in the eighth spot, it was the Washington Wizards and the Charlotte Hornets in the Eastern Conference for the NBA. No one wants to see them. They can't make any noise, even if John Wall comes back, right? John Wall comes back. Maybe they can sneak into the playoffs by beating someone. Maybe so. But then you also have to factor in that the Washington Wizards, as currently constructed, while they've made some moves at the trade deadline, they had a few games before March 11th shutdown. None of those players outside of Brad Beal, a majority of those players outside of Bradley Beal, have not played with John Wall. So will they have that 2-week training camp, 3-week training camp, whatever it might be? Sure. But you also have to have that familiarity where the Milwaukee Bucks have that familiarity with one another, that they are in sync with everything they do on the court. The 76ers, yes, they do, but they also have to have Ben Simmons back with a possible starting lineup with Shake Milton in the backcourt with him, where we haven't seen that very much during the regular season. Then you're talking about a situation with Al Horford. It's not very cohesive from what we know of the 76ers when they were playing those 65 games, a few of them after the All-Star break when Ben Simmons went down because of the back issue. The fact that before the All-Star break, Al Horford had to go to the bench. They had to readjust things with him coming off the bench. So there's that thing there. And again, I don't want to see Washington. I don't want to see Charlotte. But if we're talking about a one-off for anybody in the Eastern Conference for the 9th and 10th spots, and in the West, Portland and New Orleans, it will be more interesting in terms of a battle, if you will, for the Western Conference because of what Damian Lillard can do. Not many changes there because of how the New Orleans Pelicans looked before the season had wrapped up, where they had 64 games in the book with Zion Williamson in the starting lineup, J.J. Redick coming off the bench, Jrue Holiday still playing like Jrue Holiday, Josh Hart getting more minutes, playing very well, Lonzo Ball's looking much better in the starting lineup as well. So they had something going. Things were starting to come together where these other teams like Washington and Charlotte, and I am trying to ignore them because they stink. Right? They're 24-20. They stink. They're 24-20 versus the 28-36 and the 29-37 of New Orleans and Portland, respectively. It's a little bit different because we've seen how they play. We've seen those stretches where they look really good. We know Damian Lillard can explode and go on a tear for certainly a play-in game. The same with CJ McCollum. We know they can go off on a tear. We've seen Jrue Holiday perform in the playoffs against Portland as the underdog where he goes nuts and wins them that series along with Anthony Davis and others. Bradley Beal, maybe. No one from Charlotte can do that. And I certainly don't have the faith in John Wall to come back after his injury and come in and flat out, all right, they get in there, but in the 7-game series, it's going to be a 4-game sweep. Could it be a 4-game sweep for the Portland Trailblazers and the Pelicans against the Lakers and the Clippers if they left it as is in each conference? Absolutely. Because we're talking about two of the top teams in the NBA with the Lakers and the Clippers, where the Blazers and the Pelicans have been up and down all season with injuries and their record and Carmelo Anthony now in there and Trevor Ariza for Portland. Also, there's so many different things that factor in. The top teams are going to come out on the top end here, and we know that. They're going to come out looking better in this situation. So the NBA, as much as they want to look at things fairly and bring all the teams back, or at least giving those two teams, the two 9 and 10 seeds in each conference, and have them play it out and battle and sneak their way into the postseason, as cool as that might be and as fun as that might be and as interesting as it might look for a lot of different things, I mean, it's just not something that I personally want to see. I don't, because all right, again, they're talking about tune-up games. Do you want to have 70 or 72 regular season games, or 72 and 76 regular season games to close things out overall, to give everyone an opportunity to get into the playoffs with some legs underneath them, get their conditioning back in order and all those things? But, I mean, that's cool, but why are the Detroit Pistons going to show up if it doesn't benefit them in a playoff spot? Why in the world are the San Antonio Spurs, who have this long run of a postseason appearance, it's going to be snapped this season because there's no way that they get in. Why do they want to participate in something like this in a 7-game setting, right, where you can maybe get an extra 7 to 10 games for your players, no playoffs in sight? It's not the end of a normal regular season. So why would me, as a head coach or general manager, more importantly, and then the agents come in, why would I want my client out there on the floor playing 10 games as a tune-up? Number one, you're a dummy, right, for these other teams to get into the playoffs. And then number two, risk injury when free agency is coming up for some of those players and so many different scenarios. Yes, there are ways that you're supposed to reach incentives with some players and they collect this amount of money if they do this. But is it worth it, risking injury to a player that has no business being out there on the floor? I say no. So that's why, Mike, those one game playoffs, the playing games like NCAA tournament style, I don't see that happening. And I really don't see a scenario where they allow the Timberwolves and the Cavs and the Hawks and the Bulls, all these teams that are not going to make the postseason to go out there and play with risk of injury for those individual players. 610-632-0975. Asking to start off about the match. If you watched it yesterday, what was your take? 5.8 million viewers yesterday in the match. One of the highest rated viewership for a golf event on Turner. So that was a huge number. How much of that simply, though, was about live sports? That you just wanted something. You wanted to fill that void. There was live sports yesterday with the match. You tuned in just for that. Because, guys, gals, I did not. I had no interest. I did not care. I'll check it out later. I'll find out what happened. That'll tell enough of the story for me. And that's where we'll go. 610-632-0975. Sixers, Eagles, Flyers, Phillies on the table with anything you want to talk about. Plus, this new NBA playoff scenario that is out there. A tweet from Adrian Wojnarowski from speaking about Michelle Roberts, who is the president of the NBPA, the Players Association. We'll get to that when we get back. We'll get to Evan when we get back as well. Give him all his time. 610-632-0975. Happy Memorial Day. I'm Devon Givens. Connor Thomas producing the show here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
StageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
That's right. You hear the sounds all weekend here on The Fanatic, the great comeback music for Memorial Day. Happy Memorial Day for everyone out there. Hope you had a good one, a safe one, riding around on... I didn't go anywhere yesterday. I wasn't. But Saturday, leaving here, seeing people out there sparking up the grills. It was cool to see. Not too many crowds, right? Some with masks on. Not everybody. That's why I said some. And even coming in today on the way into the station, same deal. People outside. A lot more cars, of course. And riding by ice cream stands and water ice stands and things of that nature. And you see the long lines. I still encourage everyone to make sure you are masked up when you go out. We know this is a serious thing. We've seen the numbers, over 100,000 cases, and we have to continue to stay safe so we can knock this thing back as best as possible. Because I still think, before we get to Evan, I still think that, you know, this is going to be something that they ask us to do for the foreseeable future by wearing the masks going forward. It may not be forever, but it will be for the foreseeable future, where they do at least ask you to, you still don that mask, walk around, be safe, you know, be careful coming in contact. It may not be the long-standing thing with the 6 feet apart, but it will be there for at least the, like we just said, the foreseeable future. I don't see it going away anytime soon, so we should get used to it. Try not to buck the trend, and especially when you have the kids outside, make sure that they are good to go and have those masks wrapped around their faces. It is a little annoying at times, I know it, but you get used to it, and we know it's for the greater good of trying to make sure we once again get past this tough time with the pandemic. So be safe out there. Continue to be safe. 610-632-0975. Before we get to Evan, and we'll get to Connor as well, Adrian Wojnarowski 20 minutes ago says the NBPA's Michelle Roberts is conducting team-by-team conference calls with players, detailing talks with NBA on formats for resumption of play in Orlando, financial implications of those options, and gathering feedback, sources tell ESPN. So they're continuing to put out this information. They continue to not sit on their hands and try to find a way to finish off the season. I've been the most pessimistic person out there that I don't think they were coming back, because Maybe I didn't want them to come back because of the seriousness of this whole thing and how easily it is out there for you to get this thing. I mean, it's a difficult thing, especially when you see all the numbers and you find Patrick Ewing. We talked about on Saturday. He was finally released from the hospital. His son put out there on social media. This is the real deal, and people. It's not like people aren't, but we're changing the rules already before the rules are asked for us to be changed from the government officials and the health officials saying that it's okay. Now, the June 5th timeline that we have in Pennsylvania, it's like we can't wait for June 5th, which is now almost, you know, less than 2 weeks away now on a Friday. But let's get there. And then see where we are. I don't want to see more numbers go up because we were impatient and could not get there. So I know I'm preaching, but I'm preaching in this one too. Just simply stay safe. Let's go to Evan and Manny Young next on The Fanatic. Evan, what's up?
Yo, what's going on, Devon? How you doing tonight?
Doing okay. How are you?
Pretty good. I watched the match, and one thing stuck out to me was when Charles Barkley was talking trash to Tom Brady. And then right as he was talking trash, Tom Brady hit a 100-foot shot, and absolutely sunk it.
Connor told me about that one, and I just saw it on social media, but I hadn't seen it. The only one I saw, Evan, was when they showed it and they highlighted it. It was just a photo with the arrow going the opposite direction of a bad shot that Tom Brady hit.
Yep, and that was the first time in a while that I was watching a live sport, and I was like, wow, that actually is pretty cool. That just happened live. Well, you didn't think he was going to make that shot.
Yeah.
You thought he was going to hit it into the woods, let alone, you know, make it.
Nah, I hear you, man.
Because of how bad he was playing originally.
So was it a good watch overall?
It was okay.
Was it needed? Did you need it?
I could have done 9 holes. I didn't need all 18,
okay.
I'll be honest.
Right.
Yeah, but let's talk some NBA playoffs, too.
Let's do it.
I think it's a two-team race, honestly. I think it's either Lakers or Clippers out west. And I think it's unfair to them or the better teams like the Rockets, you know, to bring in 10 teams and or more. You don't need to do that. Let's be honest. How many teams actually have a shot to win it? If you're talking about LeBron James and the Lakers and then Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers as the 2 seed, how many more teams really have a chance out west to win the playoffs?
True. You're right. But here's the thing. First of all, The Houston Rockets could go on a tear because of who James Harden and Russell Westbrook are. That could happen. Chris Paul and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander have that team playing very well. Oklahoma City, one of the hottest teams out there in the West. So there could be runs to make it difficult for them, but I think at the end they'll prevail, like you just talked about the two teams in Los Angeles. But here's the other thing, Evan. You know it's a money deal. I mean, look at even yesterday with the Turner thing with the match. It's a money deal. So as long as they're able to have all of these rounds, right, one through eight in the East and 1 through 8 in the West, or however they figure it out with the 1 through 16, the TV money, the revenue that they're able to gather and try to get that back from what they've missed out on over these last 2.5 months, they're going to try their best to do it that way, man. Even no fans in the building and all that, TV money, as you know, is large in these decisions.
And you're right. Before you cut me off, Devon, I'd love to see, you know, a July/August, like, you know, an Orlando tournament where they're doing games every other day, not too much downtime. And they're still doing 7-game series, maybe 10 teams, 8 teams. But you're right about the coronavirus point. How many players need to get it in order for them to shut down the tournament and say they're not going to do it? You know, if 4, 5, 6 players get it, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
Thanks, Devon. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Evan. Appreciate it. Be safe out there. Well, they talked about that. Now, of course, that's something that has been in a lot of these updates, that there have been many different ideas of if someone were to get the virus. Jared Dudley pointed out how he was coming back at some story on Twitter, or at least a tweet, where Jared Dudley, now formerly of the Brooklyn Nets, as we know, and Connor was talking about that during the break, but now of the Los Angeles Lakers, he was saying that there was wrong information in the tweet that said something about a player getting the virus, keeping them on the site, whatever the campus, if you will, at the Disney Wild World of Sports in Orlando, that Jared Dudley pointed out then that was wrong. The player then had to leave. he would have to leave the campus, leaving the campus and, you know, leaving the campus and just simply getting back to allowing them to have that quarantine time to get healthy and not have anybody else come in contact with him. Because once that player gets it, number one, the team is going to have to be tested, like we saw with the Jazz and the Thunder that night on March 11th when the league shut down. Then whatever hotel they're staying in with the other teams, if that is, let's say they have the four teams in one hotel, staff now has to be tested. Coaches who are older, right? Elderly, if you will, men and women, that they now have to be tested. The families, if they are including the families on this trip, they're going to now have to be tested. So, Ryan, Evan, that's how it looks like it's going to be right now, where a player will, if a player does, in fact, come down with the coronavirus while on the campus, they're going to ask them to eventually leave and allow them to clear it out, do what they need to do. My question would be, are they going to now evacuate that hotel? So are they going to leave? Let's say they have four teams, four hotels. There's enough space for all. Still more hotels on the campus where if something like that happens, they now have to clean that whole one out. You now shift over to the Mickey Mouse Hotel versus being in the Goofy Hotel, and they have to now clean and wipe that one out because of what just happened. So, Evan, I hope that answered your question. These are all the concerns that they have that are constantly ongoing, and the conversations are constantly being had about how to, any scenario that pops up, they're trying to make sure they cross all those T's and dot those I's in the event that this particular thing happens at the Disney Wide World of Sports. 610-632-0975. The match, did you watch it? Did you enjoy it? Did it fill a void for you? Why did you watch it? Because I did not. And many people like golf. I'm not one of them. I understood, and I think we all would understand why we were watching. I'm not saying I don't understand why. I'm asking why you did, though, because some people have different reasons. Did you want to get in because of the commentary of being able to speak on a live mic while they go back and forth? Is it because of knowing Charles Barkley would be back at home as one of the commentators? Did it simply have you tune in because it filled a void of live sports? 610-632-0975. We'll get to Connor Thomas when we get back. The 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family & Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com, South Jersey's diamond destination. Once again, to reach us, 610-632-0975. I'm Devon Givens, Connor Thomas producing. We're here until 10 right here on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Von Givens, Connor Thomas producing, here with you on this Memorial Day Monday as it starts to wrap up here on this Monday, Memorial Day weekend. So it seems like it's just been a long holiday weekend since March 12th. For our sports world, at least. And then like a week or so later thereafter, that's when everything has started to shut down for everyone. So it's been a long holiday weekend for a lot of people. It has only gotten warmer for everyone, and that's the only difference. We'll bring in Connor Thomas here on this particular conversation that we've been having. So Connor, we talked about the match. You gave me a little bit more on it than I had already had. I just wasn't interested in it. So as I bring you into this one and ask you, you did watch it, And what did you think about it? And was it a void being filled for you?
Yeah, I did watch it. I was really interested in it from the beginning. To begin, I'm a pretty big golf guy. I got a tee time tomorrow morning. So I love to get out when the weather turns and just being able to see. Anytime Tiger plays golf, I'm always interested in it. But also the trash talk and a little going back and forth on the live mics that we were going to hear from Peyton now that he's out of the league and can actually say some stuff and get away with some stuff. And Tom Brady has that reputation where he can kind of say what he wants. That was intriguing to me. I agree with the previous caller, Evan, I believe it was, who said that he could have gone with 9 instead of the full 18. I totally agree with that because after a while it was kind of just golf is what it is, especially when it's only 4 players. But I needed that live sports itch scratched, and the KBO hasn't done it for me. Darts or ping pong that you could still bet on, that doesn't do it for me.
You're a UFC guy, right?
No, not really.
No?
No, not really a fights guy.
That's Pat and Josh.
Yeah, so this is all I've had, really, that is in my niche that's really come back. And the KBO, again, I can't wake up that early to watch it. And the replays, I've already got people tweeting me and telling me who won. So
I've seen a little bit of that in the morning, but it was like a Friday morning when I happened to wake up early enough to catch it. And I watched it for a majority of the time, but it didn't pull me in enough where I said I had to do this again.
Yeah, I watched one game and I watched Aaron Altair strike out 3 times. And I was just like,
you saw that before, huh?
Oh, yeah. Back down memory lane there. But that's not memories I want to go back to. That's not something that doesn't fill the void for me. Seeing guys who can't make it in a major league sport that I like to watch.
But how did this fill a void then? I mean, it was two football players. There were two football players that it was for a great charity, $20 million raised for COVID-19. But where does it fill a void? Just because you haven't had any real golf, because you haven't had any real hockey, baseball, basketball right now because of the almost 3 months now off? Is it what is it?
Yeah, and you still get to see Tiger and Phil out there striking the ball. Like Brady was hot garbage most of the day except for one shot. Peyton's okay. He's good for an amateur, but watching Tiger Woods swing a golf club live and be able to talk about it too, have him on a hot mic, that's something that it's a rare opportunity. And also, I was thinking about it when you were saying how you didn't really have the interest. I tuned in about 4 holes in. I actually missed the start because I was interested to see it. I was definitely going to watch parts of it. But it almost felt like, you know how when it's almost spring and it's been winter for a while, it's been really cold out, you can kind of smell the weather turning. I feel like a lot of people are starting to smell sports coming back, the real sports and the real return. And since we're getting close, we're not like in the dark, we're not in the doldrums anymore. We could start to see the light at the end of the tunnel a little bit. People are losing that interest in the sideshow type stuff, the documentaries, the one-off golf tournaments.
Well, but even with the documentary, though, I think if there was a 11 and 12 of Jordan, people would have tuned in. I don't know if they would have gone any further than 11 and 12, but the way that it was done, I think a lot of people would have tuned in and seen many did not like the Lance Armstrong doc yesterday.
Yeah, I think part of that with the Jordan thing, obviously it's a lot more compelling, I would say, especially for someone my age who wasn't around during Jordan's era, the peak of Jordan's era, than a golf tournament would be. But it also got going, like episodes 1 and 2 were dead in the middle of when it seemed like we had nothing to watch. Now it's just, if there's
much needed.
Absolutely. This is almost like, yeah, it's cool. We don't have live sports yet, but there's so much information flying around about the potential of it coming back within the next month or so. And everything's still so up in the air, but you've got that kind of one eyes on the sports you want to watch. And now only one eyes left to watch the sports that are here right now.
All right. I mean, I don't regret not watching it. It was what it was. I'm glad it filled the void for a lot of people. I was good enough to sit there and watch a movie that was available to me via the streaming and check it out and still feel, all right, I had a good Sunday night. I'm good to go right here. I don't need to. Now, all right, we got to stop this movie. I need to go and check out Tiger, Phil, and the two football players go at it on the golf course with the commentary from Charles Barkley and whoever else was back at their home during their thing. 610-632-0975. For you, I have not heard your thoughts on this. The NBA playoff thing, what do you think? Do you keep it 1 through 8 East-West? Do you now redo it and have 1 through 16? Where are you?
Yeah, so I would like to keep it as similar to the usual as possible. I think that presents the easiest opportunity for everyone team-wise getting ready. The other thing, and we kind of talked about it in a break, about what comes to mind when you hear about the extra games and the tune-up games. I think back to Jared Dudley last year and how he caused all sorts of problems for the Sixers, not necessarily with his basketball ability, but his ability to be a pest.
Yeah.
All you need is one team who doesn't really have their head in it because their season's already over, playing against the Sixers or playing against another team that's contending for a title still, pushes one guy after a whistle, a good player, a great player goes down for the rest of the year and you lose that guy. There's just so much to lose and not that much to gain from playing tune-up games of that sort. But I would think it would be cool if you do play tune-up games just among the playoff teams that have already seeded in to get some type of a warm-up and then keep it to the usual number of teams in the playoffs. I think that would probably be my most preferred.
Yeah, so I'm either 1-8 each conference still or the 1-16. I don't want to mess around too much with the... As interesting as it is to possibly have some sort of play-in tournament, no. First of all, I don't want 7 games, but they're going to do it because that's the more traditional way of doing it. That's what they do. And the TV point that we brought up, that's a big factor in it. But I personally would like for it to be a 5-game series and go from there. Finals, Eastern Conference Finals, Western Conference Finals, 7. But for the first 2 rounds, give me 5-game series of these 1-16, if that's where you're going to go, because that makes it interesting as well, the 1-16, instead of the traditional 1-8 for each conference. I'm there. I'm good with that. I just don't know that. I don't want to mess around too much with something that already works. And I know it's different. It's a unique situation that we are in, and they have to get very creative, which they are. But I don't need a bunch of mess at this point with how they try to figure things out, where you start throwing in these play-in situations. And I know Mike said he would like it tournament style. It would be cool, but you're talking about an asterisk already. I don't want to now mess. I don't want to do all of that stuff. That's just going over the top for me to have to incorporate all of these different types of ways to do things instead of what already works in the NBA playoffs. So 1-8 each conference, or 1-16, reshuffle the deck a little bit. You'll still have some very, very good matchups with teams who, I mean, even with 15, 17 games left for a lot of teams, 14 through 17 games left for a lot of teams, they've pretty much established themselves as the teams outside of the West, where Portland and New Orleans will really get the short end of the stick here. I mean, in the East, it's what it is. Brooklyn, Orlando rounding things out 7-8. The Western Conference, that's a shame for Portland and New Orleans. But hey, man, that's how it goes. That's just where you are right now with how things ultimately played out. We'll see you next year, get better in the offseason, and we'll check it back up in December with game number 1, and let's run these 82 and get to the playoffs. 610-632-0975. We'll keep this conversation rolling in the 7 o'clock hour. We also want to introduce our side topic, a great horror/sci-fi film introduced on this day years ago. Well, we want to talk about that a little bit and incorporate some other movies with it as well, as we like to do with our side topics with the main. 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas produced, and I'm Devon Givens on this Memorial Day Monday right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.